Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming to my channel. I'm talking about Victory Day in Moscow. And that's always celebrated on the 9th of May, regardless of which day of the week that happens to fall upon. It's already commemorating victory in the Great Fatherland War, the Great Patriotic War, as they call it, the Second World War, because by the time the instrument was surrendered, it was already 9th of May, according to Moscow time. Of course, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, but they begin the parade at 10 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, even if you revile the Russian government, as I do, it is usually a magnificent and enormously impressive parade with tens of thousands of troops and so many tanks and armored personnel carriers and these missile launchers and fly past and the troops are marching in lockstep. They can do precision drill. They say there's some units that practice for that all year long. They do nothing else. So no wonder it's marvelous. I did go and try to see it when I was in Moscow. We couldn't get anywhere near the action. But those huge sort of temporary metal fences keeping the public well back, because of course people have got no rights in Russia. It's only for the VIPs. You get a much better view on television. And they had this chap who's died now. It's Russian television presenter who had the most marvelous velvet basso profundo voice doing the announcements. And in 2010. For the 65th anniversary of the Second World War, they had all sorts of foreign contingents. They invited Israelis, even though Israel didn't exist in the Second World War, and Indians and British troops and French and Americans and goodness, oh, for all the former Soviet countries, including the Ukrainians. And it was a truly tremendous spectacle. But no more. Remember, the first year of the war, they had a solitary tank. Partly they had to take some old sort of tanks out of storage and use them. And there are virtually no Second World War era tanks left. There's some from the 1960s and 1970s, but they would like to sort of showcase their modern tanks, but they need them for the war. The ones that have not been kept really well preserved in storage or whatever, maintained, have to use those, get those, try to use those. They're really not making any progress in this war, and that is painfully apparent. You see the diplomatic isolation. They like to head ahead of states in many countries, and now they've got Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus, and that's just about it. Some former country, some former Soviet countries send the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, the foreign minister, the deputy foreign minister. It's not the president. So you see how friendless and isolated Russia is. It's going really badly for them. Obviously, in the run-up to this, that Russia had been switching off the internet for phones, so people can't hail an Uber or whatever. They can't order Food Fox. They can't use WhatsApp or equivalent like that. So, they say it's costing the Moscow economy $1 billion a day when they do that. Now, and Moscow, I know it's 10% of the Russian population, but it's more like 30% of the economy. So it's hurting them really badly. Putin is so worried about assassination, saying that the Ukrainians somehow have to use that internet to coordinate their attacks. And very well, there'd be a big attack on the parade because, you know, there are thousands of soldiers there. It's a very tempting target. Quite apart from the Russian troops, the Ukrainians would kill, the psychological blow would be very heavy indeed. They cannot keep Moscow safe. They've had to hoard a lot of the air defense for Moscow, leaving the rest of the country relatively denuded of air defense. But anyway, the United States supposedly brokered a ceasefire, with Russia largely observed. They've never totally observed anything. Most of their ceasefires, they've not observed at all. They've not even slowed down the tempo of attacks. This time they really did, because they didn't want to provoke the Ukrainians into doing something. And the Ukrainians are a little bit useful to have some troop rotations. It's very difficult to get guys out of their trenches, foxholes, bunkers, or whatever, a few kilometers back. Well, first of all, the replacements get there. But so that was a little bit useful for them to have something of a breather, and exchange of roughly 1,000 prisoners from either side, always done via Belarus. So it's a damp squib, and this cannot be hidden. And obviously, the Russian public sees that. It's dispiriting. The war has dragged on. There is really no end in sight. They've made almost no progress. And another milestone has been reached. Last month, for the very first time, Ukraine launched more drones than Russia, even though Russia's got 3.5 times the population. So Ukraine's military manufacturing base has increased enormously and is impressive. And other countries are really interested in buying what they've got. They've sold some of their anti-drone technology to these Gulf Arab states. So there's been a very successful defense diplomacy mission for them. So Russia's losses are mounting. They can't quite replace them. Yeah, they're not moving forward. The Ukrainians have made enormous strides with their unmanned ground vehicles. Supposedly this is going to be their cavalry. Preserve human life, keep humans safe as much as possible. Let the machines take the risk. And the Russian technology is just not up there. And that's why Putin in his speech even said that this Ukraine war might be coming to a close. Does even he recognize it's unwinnable, and that Western aid is not going to stop? that the losses are just unsustainable for him. And he's going to have to say, well, we got these five regions. They've not even conquered all the five regions. I mean, like, let's say, you know, Donetsk, they don't have the whole of Donetsk. They've got the whole of Crimea, for example, and call it a victory, some sort of frozen conflict, a fudge, some sort of constructive ambiguity about what's agreed at the end. And then he thinks he can marshal his forces, wait for a propitious moment, and then attack again. But will all sanctions be lifted? They were lifted. They really want that. I know the Russian state media tells these stupid lies. Oh, the sanctions don't hurt us at all. They're good for our economy. Well, why do you want them lifted then? Is that moronic? And to think the Russian state media was bragging at the beginning of the war, they were going to take Kyiv in 2 days. Over 4 years later, they're nowhere even near. I thought they were going to take Kyiv in 2 weeks. I could not see them getting further west from the Dnieper. And look how difficult it is for them now. So that really just showcased how weak they were. So not many foreign journalists are allowed there. So yeah, it wasn't impressive at all compared to the marvelous show they were able to put on previously. Goodness, and likewise, a similar scale back parade there in St. Petersburg. And there are no victories to show these days. And then Putin in his oration said that, you know, Russia always wins. Well, Russia doesn't always win. Has he heard of Afghanistan? It doesn't win the war, never mind just winning every single battle. And then the Russian embassy saying this is, it was Russia's victory. It was the Soviet Union's victory. That means Ukraine's victory. 25% of Red Army troops were Ukrainian. Russia would not have won without them. Would not have won without all the other Soviet republics. And obviously the Soviet Union had many foreign allies, okay? And Germany had foreign allies too. So, you know, Ukraine is not Germany. Ukraine is not a superpower, and Russia cannot even defeat Ukraine. So this is disgraceful and obviously deeply humiliating for them. The war, I mean, it could go on another 4 years. Maybe it'll go on another few months, as I'm really hoping for. And now the American financial aid is still there a bit, but their military aid has been cut about 1% of what it was under the Biden administration. Now, European military aid to Ukraine is ramped up something like 65%, partly to replace that. But a new US president might say, well, even with no US military aid, the Ukrainians are holding their own. Imagine if we did give them the same level of military aid we used to give them under Biden, and they'd win outright. They push the Russians out of most of Ukraine, maybe even all of Ukraine. So if a Democrat comes in, that might happen. I wouldn't see President J.D. Vance doing that. And of course, he is racing certain to be the Republican nominee for the 2028 presidential election. So from Russia's point of view, it was deeply disappointing and embarrassing. This VE Day parade, the thing that passed off without incidents, there were no Ukrainian drone attacks. They're increasingly worried about Ukrainian drones, missiles, rockets are ever more sophisticated to construct deeper into Russia, playing havoc with their oil industry. Russia's not being able to reap the reward of this Iran war in terms of oil exports because you know, Ukraine has really destroyed a lot of their oil production and refineries and stuff like that. So you see how the excuse for switching off the internet is to provide security, which the Russian state doesn't provide, can't provide. That's how weak they are, bamboozled, being defeated and humiliated by the Ukrainians. Anyway, I wish this war would end today. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallard790@gmail.com. Goodbye.